from Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14, and it's on the back of your notes, and I'm going to ask Nick if he would be so kind to read this passage, and everybody just kind of follow along. Go ahead, buddy.
The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones. Say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them. And flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath. And breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord.
Amen. This is the reading of the word. And God showing us, showing Ezekiel the spiritual condition of his people. And God's people are in their worst condition ever. But God, in his merciful, loving kindness, comes to resurrect his people. And there's a... How many of you have been stuck before in something? It's really difficult to get out. This passage will address some of the reasons and some of the things that go on in our life when we're struggling and when there's a sense of dryness. Because a dry bone, you know, he says there are bones everywhere, all over the surface of the valley, but then he points out they're very dry. And when a bone is dry, there's no marrow in it. How many of you know the marrow is where the production of the life blood and the blood cells come? So there's no capacity in the bone to cause anything to happen for good. And that's our condition spiritually. There's no potential inside of us on our own to cause anything good to happen. We need some help from outside. We need some help that God would do for us. There's a condition of our... This is how these little questions are like application. I mean, the fill-ins are like application questions. Let's go ahead and go to the first one. What in your life right now is drying you out? Is there something, you know, relationally? Is there something emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially? Is there something in some realm that, you know, we can open doors to things and cause problems in our own lives and our own souls? Now, I want to go ahead and borrow from a little bit further down in the passage. It's verse 9, when just to finish this first section about the condition of the people. They're dried out, they're lifeless, and they don't have the potential to fix it on their own. This is really a beautiful picture of God saying, I'm coming to you in my love and mercy where you don't have the ability, but I do. I'm coming to you to give you something that you don't have in the realm that you're in, that you don't have a capacity for without me. I'm coming in my grace and empowerment and love and resurrection might to come and do something for you in the dryness, because something's dried. How many of you have been some places in your life you wish you hadn't gone and just been dry? I remember talking to a pastor down in North Carolina, He's a pastor where my brother goes to church. Wonderful guy named Gene. And years ago, when I first talked to him, I said, "What you doing?" He says, "We were just talking as pastors." He says, "I'm fighting dryness." Because it was a season he was going through. Fighting dryness. I thought that was interesting. How many of you had to fight with dryness before? I wrote a song that's on the CD. It's called "Come Jump in the River." And there's a beautiful experience for you when you worship the Lord with all that's in you. And God will kick through and overthrow dryness. But when, see, what's going on is the people of God quit living in the presence of God because they quit obeying the Lord. And they've turned to their own idols. They turned to their own false gods. They left. And this is the condition. What's going on right now is Ezekiel is the guy, like Jeremiah, who right at the tail end, before the nation of Israel went off into captivity. This is the kind of historically where these guys are. And so Ezekiel's one of those fellas that's when the people have made mistake after mistake, turned to wrong things over and over, and their handwriting is on the wall that they're going to go off into captivity. But during that time, God begins to prophesy through Ezekiel the things that are coming. And it's going to take time, but he's going to bring them back around, and he's going to cause them to be fruitful again. And so the condition of their heart is really, really dry to the bone. That's the first thing. Second thing is in verse 9, there's this little word. It says, later he says, prophesy to, when the sinews and all that were coming together and they still weren't alive yet, he says, prophesy to the wind and say, come from the four ends of the earth and breathe on those who are slain. And that word jumped out at me, the word slain, because the word slain means to kill or destroy or extinguish by violence. Really insight. Violence is defined as a swift and intense force, rough or injurious force, action, or treatment. Can I just tell you, nothing kills off emotions or leaves people more feeling dead inside like violence. When violence is done to a person when they're young and the wound is not healed, the psychological damage can be difficult to overcome. A victim of violence might even think that they deserved the violence, leaving them feeling worthless instead of valuable. The victimized person might even continue to act out the violence upon themselves or those around them. How many of you heard the old saying, hurting people hurt people? But healed people can bring healing to people. And when you feel dead inside, you do dumb things and make yourself feel alive. How many of you have been on a quest? When you're really, really dumb, you go ahead and do something more dumb. When you're really, really dried out, you go do something that has a false promise of making it better, and you go further down the road of destruction than you ever imagined. I love that old definition for sin. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go, make you pay more than you wanted to pay, and keep you longer than you wanted to stay. So God says, I see the condition of your situation here, and I see the condition of your heart. And there's an area of bruising or wounding that may very well be the potential for the root cause of the dryness, the root cause of the pain. And he's speaking to a situation to where he knows everything that's going on inside. He knows all the reasons for why the dry bones are there. Then he even highlights in the very back bottom portion three little statements that he makes about what the people say about themselves. Have you ever been really, just really down and you start saying your condition? Instead of saying faithful things to God to get it out of the situation, you start saying stuff and they say, our bones are dry, we're hopeless, and we're cut off. Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, and we are indeed cut off. And this hopeless feeling that the people have has come because they're burned out of their own failures and not turning to the Lord. So when I ask, you know, to sum this up, you know, people feel dead or are stuck, unable to improve themselves in their own power without God's help. Potential need for healing from a wound inflicted at some kind of violence. And listen, you can go on and on and on about that. This, in our culture, it is a violent culture. people are wounded so deeply in so many different ways, they don't have a clue. And some folks are so covered up with like just walls and like steel plates that they will never be hurt again. And yet they're so disconnected from themselves and from people, just like this big, and until that stuff comes down, there's never really the communion with God. Isn't it amazing when you cut off from somebody, you're really cutting off from the Lord too? And the devil's always coming with another offense. Come on, swallow another hook, line, and sinker. We're going to get you offended again. We're going to lead you down the road. You're going to be mad at people all your life. You're going to die mad. You're going to die bitter. You're going to die. We're just going to reel you in. You're going to be nothing. Don't you feel worthless yet? You feel cut off yet? You feel hopeless? Yes, you live in your hopeless. Good, good. That's how we want you. Because the Satan does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy. And to dry you out and to cause you to have no hope at all. And God looks in this situation and He has a plan. And His plan, by the way, did you know that you cannot fix a problem with the same level of thinking that caused the problem? Enter Ezekiel. This condition of God's people that God has come to resurrect, so He involves a partner. God brings a person named Ezekiel. Did you know what Ezekiel means? It means this: God strengthens. God strengthens. And so God brings Ezekiel on the scene, and He shows him a situation that is impossible to change from man's perspective. How many of you looked at your situation and go, "There ain't no way we're getting out of this thing"? And when God asked Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" Ezekiel guarded his tongue from speaking from his limited perspective. He didn't do like many people do and just blurt out, "Are you kidding me? No way. These people are dead and dried up. And they're beyond any kind of help, as far as I can see." But instead, with wisdom, he said, "Oh Lord, you know." And it's wise and it's mature to not blurt out your limited perspective of the devastation of somebody's soul. When they're gone beyond belief in their own mind, there need to be some Ezekiels on the scene that will begin to speak what God says to speak and guard your mouth from the negative things. How many of you just go ahead and embrace that conviction? Because there's going to be all kinds of people around you all kinds of times. And you know what? I remember, I don't want to expose names and stuff, but I remember there was a very sinful situation. And I said, "That person did it, and I know they did." And my wife said, "You're so self-righteous." And I said, "No, no, no, no. I'm not judging their sin on the basis of self-righteousness. I'm judging it based on their sin because I am a sinner, and I know they did it because I'm a sinner. And I would have done it." And we're all in this pickle together, fallen in the valley of dry bones, needing more help than we can imagine. And there, God is sending someone into the midst to be a person who speaks the words that God tells him to say, that God commands the person to say. And isn't it amazing that God says, "I have a big solution. I'm going to cause resurrection life. And so to do that, I'm going to send a person, and they're going to start speaking what I say." What? Yeah. It's the word that God says going in that releases the life and changes the condition and resurrects the soul and brings the person out of that condition. It's the hearing of the word that is prophesied. That's where the mighty war is. What did God say? What God says is the vision. What God says is what brings the hope and healing. What God does say and tells you to say. How many of you've had something, God give you a glimpse or a vision of something, and then the next day it's gone? But He was planting hope in you, and the adversary comes to steal it. But the Lord will whisper and give you a vision of the hope and the purpose of your life, and He wants you and I to walk in that and to grasp that. How many of you have figured out already, life is hard enough, you don't need somebody else yelling at you how bad you are? Go ahead and go to your home and break all your mirrors. Because often you'll be the one parroting the dumb stuff to your own soul. Is that right? So we're going to get to our next little line here, and it's this. Number two, will you be an Ezekiel? One who is used by God to strengthen others. You don't have to be totally together to begin encouraging people. Jesus said, if you're just hungry, you're going to be fed. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. It doesn't mean you're completely well. It just means you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness. You can get on the right trajectory of life. You can get on the right path by beginning to hunger for the Lord and wanting Him and to live in His presence and do what He says. And I want to just go ahead and confess to you, if you're coming to City Church for any length of time and you apply your heart to the things that what God is saying to you when you gather, when we gather, your life is going to get better, and I guarantee it.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Because I was a valley of dry bones myself.
Amen.
I was a broken man. I was full of hopelessness, and I felt completely cut off, and I had no wherewithal inside of myself to figure out how to make it better. But then an Ezekiel comes along. There's something about an anointed Ezekiel, isn't it? How many of you just decide, let's go ahead and sign up and get under the spirit of Ezekiel, and let's go ahead and have an Ezekiel club. And we'll be the ones that God says, see that situation looks hopeless to everybody else? Yeah. It's not hopeless, is it? No. Because I'm going to give you what to say, and you're going to speak it, and things are going to change because I give you what to say. Is that simple? Yeah. Is it that hard? Yeah. How many of you, God says something to say, and you say it, and the next day you're saying the opposite? You got to be in Ezekiel. Strengthen with the very words that God speaks and says to you. Here when it says, so they prophesy. By the way, sometimes progress is made when you don't even feel like it. Isn't that the truth? We are the body of Christ. And there's a bigger picture than the individual. Each of us have we're all members of the body. And God's saying, I want to interconnect. And instead of being a dysfunctional people, I want you to be a connected people that are flowing together in my purpose. That you rise up and become a strong body, the body of Christ with Jesus as the head, interconnected and causing good things to happen. Are you there? And then he says, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the breath, says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. Now notice, it is not until the breath of God came to the root cause of their condition that they began to live. They're all up, but the breath isn't there. And God says, speak the breath on the slain. Sometimes it's the healing of the wound before the life comes back. Are you there? Where if you're going to become a strong army, your wound is not going to be, is your wound's going to be healed. You're going to be limping around with the brokenness of the wound, with the preoccupation of the wound, with the violence that's still resonant inside the soul. God says, I'm going to breathe life on you. I remember so many times the Lord bringing His life to me, and suddenly something that has been such a torture to me be gone from me. Jesus will show up in those horrible places in your life and walk right in and cause the pain to leave as He ministers to you. He'll take a horrible situation, violence acted out upon you, all kinds of things, and Jesus will show up in the midst of your dry bones and say, come here. And where you were hopeless, He will bring healing to you. It's amazing how the Lord is the God who resurrects the dead. And whatever has died off in you, He will raise it up as He heals you in the process. And if we're going to gather and be His body and become an exceeding strong army, then the breath of God is going to come and bring healing to those areas. Let's praise Him for a moment. Hallelujah. Because He's a compassionate God. He's a loving God. He's come to help you where you can't help yourself. He's come to give you hope where you have never had hope before. He's come, everything that has been acted in upon you and that you've still been stuck or blocked or held back, God says, I'm going to breathe on that, and I'm going to cause my life to enter you and bring healing inside of you so you can rise up and stand on your feet and become a warrior, become an exceeding strong army. Oh, praise God. Whew, praise the Lord. And this is really the condition. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. And you were dead. The Valley of Dry Bones just showed up in the book of Ephesians. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Praise the Lord. So number three, will you receive and live in the breath of God? Will you receive and live in? I want to get real honest with you here. I received the Lord when I was 17 years old, and I started worshiping, leading worship at our church. And the Lord intended that I would have be a carrier, to help carry and a release and help His presence be manifest. But I was broken, and I had been through physical abuse as a child. And I had this gift. I remember discovering the gift because I would start singing and playing my guitar, and this wonderful presence of the Lord would fill up my we had a little cabin. It would fill up the cabin, and the dog would go, oh. And the cat would go, and I would sing, and the dog and the cat would just like come into the presence of God. And sometimes that presence would be so strong that I would actually want to go out after that and sin. I wasn't used to the goodness. I was used to the dryness. And the same glory, that anointing that would come upon me, it actually started to go inside of me and clean me out. And I didn't know that's what was going on. I didn't know that the anointing that came upon me was going to go inside of me and start healing me. And I would have pain come up because it was like the Holy Spirit was melting all the frozen hurt inside of my life. And it would start to come up, and I would try to rebuke it like it was the devil. But it wasn't the devil, it was the Holy Spirit trying to get me to release all the hurt. Is this helping anybody? Because then what's going on over the years is that anointing that came upon would come inside, and I got more used to not running off and doing something stupid and dumb after experiencing this experience with God, and I started wanting more of what He was, and now I prefer yes. living in the breath yes. of the Lord. I prefer that more than anything else. Is the world still there? Yeah, but it's so dull. It doesn't grab me like it used to. It doesn't give me the charge up, you know what I mean? If I want a charge, I just worship Jesus. Amen. I heard a guy say one time, ain't no high like the Most High. So let's look at what happens when you receive and live in the breath of God. Verse 14, this is what happens. I will put my spirit within you. Somebody just say hallelujah right there. Look, I want to step down here and just say, you could really mess up with the wrong spirit. Many people open up doors to wrong spirit. They go through doors they should never and have stuff attached to their life. And the Lord wants to break that bondage and heal that and free you from that. And I'm just declaring to you, there's an oasis of His love for you to camp at. And He wants to love you all the way through to wholeness. He will get in and cause all the things that went wrong to begin to be made right in your life. And the extraordinary thing about the Lord is that when He does this, see, look, everything that has hurt me, everything that was abusive to me, everything that was a bondage to me, all the process that I learned of His healing grace and how to forgive and how to go on, all that stuff now is freely flows. And everything that was a pain to me has now become a tool for somebody else. And there's something about God saying, I'm not going to waste one of your sorrows. I'm going to cause you to have something come upon your life so you can be one who strengthens others because of the devastation I brought you out of and I raised you out of your dry bones and your hopeless condition and how you felt cut off. And now you're connected to me and I've risen you up as a strong and mighty army. And now you can bring that same hope and healing to others. He says, I put my spirit within you. And I love this. And you shall live and I will place you in your own land. Now, this pops up a couple of times, about three times in the passage. The Lord says, then you shall know that I am the Lord. Everybody say, the Lord wants you to know Him. The Lord wants you to know Him. And he's so funny. God's so funny. How will I know? How will I know the great I am sent me? God, says Moses, when you have delivered the people of Israel. You mean when I get back? Yeah, when we're done with it, you'll know I did it because you couldn't have done it. Is that right? God says to Abraham, okay, now here's the deal. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Many nations. Many. I'm going to make you just have kids and kids and kids. And then his plumbing died. His wife's plumbing died. There's no way. His valley of dry bones dried up. God says, this is exactly where I come in. I bring resurrection life to plumbing. And they have a baby, and it's the baby of promise. Amen. And God brings it about. And then it says, who calls those things that are not as though they were. And if you can't get a vision for what God has for you, let me tell you, God's already starting to call what is not. As though it were. What didn't exist in your life will exist in your life, and you will rise up and become something you never imagined you could be. Hell has a terrible vision for your life. Just go ahead and break off with it. And begin to say, I'm going to go where you want me, Lord, and I'm going to do everything in my power to partner with you and become an Ezekiel and begin speaking this. Because there's a place. He said, there's this place. I will place you in your land. And your land means a place of your intended purpose. God has something to take everything that went wrong and make it right. All the years that have been devastated, some of you it's just year after year after year, God's just a big turnaround God. He's going to change it all. Father God, I just pray over this congregation. I thank you for your people that every place where there's been a dryness, every place where there's been a hopeless spot, every place where there's been a feeling of being cut off, I say, Lord, we prophesy to the dryness. We prophesy, say, come from the four winds, Spirit, breath of God, come. Come from the four winds and breathe upon this slain place. Breathe upon it now. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe. We prophesy that there would come out of this situation the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in everybody's life. Let's praise Him, guys. Let's praise Him right now. He's moving. The Lord says, prophesy to it. You go ahead and say, I speak to my life where I have been dry. I prophesy to you, you're going to rise up and receive the breath of God. I prophesy to you. I prophesy God's putting things in order in some of your lives, and He's coming with another breath, and the other breath is going to cause there to come a life in you that you have never known the capacity of what He has for you. You've not tasted it yet, but God's saying, I'm breathing upon you. I'm causing there to come inside of your life a work. And the Lord is doing this in our nation. He's saying the whole nation is a valley of dry bones, and you could begin to prophesy to Fairmont, to Marion County, and say, rise and let the breath of God begin to come and all around the community. I'm just going ahead and deputize everybody in here as an Ezekiel. Just raise your right hand. In the name of Jesus, I release the power of the God who strengthens through your life. In the name of Jesus, that you become all that God wants you to be. And in the midst of a valley of dry bones, you become the one that prophesies the breath of God. That you become the one that speaks the right things that cause people to rise up. That you become the one that changes your language and doesn't speak the negative, but causes there to come the fullness of what God wants to happen come out of you. Let's praise Him, guys. Listen, this is, it starts with praise, and as this word comes alive, we say it. We say it. We say it. Somebody needs to hear this. You need to say, here, somebody stand right in front of you and put their finger right on your chest and say, you are awesome. You have no idea how blessed and wonderful a person God has made you to be. You are going to do great things. You're going to rise up. You're going to break the power that holds you. You're going to become what Jesus has intended you to become. You're going to be all that He planned when He saw you in the womb. You're going to make it. You're going to be what God wants you to be. Praise you, Lord. Let's praise Him, guys. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You're not going to limp along. You're not going to be dry. You're not going to be hopeless anymore. No, 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 no. Praise the Lord. Breath of God, come and blow on these dry bones. Raise up your army. Heal the slain. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's stand together. Just worship with me. Praise you, Jesus. Father God, I just pray that there would come, where there's salvation needed, I ask, Lord, every heart open up to the Savior and be born again unto eternal life. And if that's you today, just come up, talk to me, say, I need Him, I need Him. Just come and tell me, and I'll pray with you. If there's healing, further healing, right now we have people up here. Jesus is the healer today. You know what? The Lord is raising up a hope. There's a spiritual hope awakening. And you, somebody, I don't know who you are, but somebody feels like, I can actually do this. I know I can now. That there's a liberty and a deliverance and a freedom and a set freeness coming to your spirit. And you're going to walk where you couldn't walk before. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're going to be walking the freedom that you didn't know you could. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You need a turnaround moment. You need a day like that where God says, you can do it, honey. You can do it. Walk with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Listen, you may not know everybody in the room, but you can still be kind and like them. Go ahead and tell somebody you're doing good.